The first reading is from Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. The second reading is in John, chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered round him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. And when they kept questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." May God bless this reading from his holy word.
We have wandered round that courtyard a little bit so far, and just for a quick update on where we've been. We entered into that courtyard and immediately went into that room where we claim our Father, the Father who is a parent of us all and who loves us. He loves us from the beginning of time because he made us. He's the one who actually created us and our life and gave us life to share with others. He's the one who knows us inside out, and he's the one who just loves us to bits. And no matter what we do and where we've come from, his arms are always open wide. And that is a huge lesson for many, many people, that our God is not a God of punishment and condemnation. As we heard in the passage from John, Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to give freedom and life. And as we claim God as our Father, the perfect Father, the one who loves us because he made us, and knows us so well, we are able then to move on and discover more about him. We feel comfortable, we feel safe, we feel secure in that home. He's not going to hurt us or harm us. And we realize then that his name is holy. He's set apart, because part of the context and the character of God is not only that he is very close to us and loves us and holds us closely, but he is also the God of all power, of all creation, of all the universes. He has power to do all things. And someone with that huge amount of power has become to us in such a gentle and kind way that that is a huge revelation to so many people about God. He is not wanting to push us around. He is not wanting to tell us what we must do with no options. He loves us and cares for us and uses his power gently, gives us minds that we are to use and minds which we can use to make up and decide what we want to do. Not always the right things, but we have that option and that choice and that free will. We go into your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, and realizing that we want God's kingdom, the best world possible, to be where we are. We want it to be in this world. We want justice and peace for all people. But in order for that to happen, we have to realize that we have to release our wills and let his will take over. We have to let go what we want for our good and our good alone and realize that God's will is the will for all people. And it might not be easy to do, and we might have to let go some things, we might have to share things that we're not so sure about. But he wants everyone to have the same. And when we realize that his ways and his will is really the best, because we've tried other ways and they've not worked that well. We've tried our own way and found ourselves in dead ends and problems. So we know that his will is the best, but he's not going to impose it again, not even with his power. It's for us to say, your will be done, in our way of releasing our own wills and saying, we hand everything to you. You show us the way. You teach us the best way to do things, and we will listen and we will do them. And that is a huge petition to pray every week, every day. It's not saying God will sort this out. It's saying that if we listen to God, we can help him to sort it out, and we can bring justice and peace and equality and joy and hope to all people. And last week, Sandy talked about the provision room, the kitchen. Give us today our daily bread. Again, not to store up and not to put things in bigger barns and say, this is ours and we're going to save it in case we need it next week. But a case of saying every day that God will provide what we need. He is there with us and for us. And certainly we have to ask, give us this day our daily bread. He's there for us. But unless we admit our need, and unless we admit our need of him, then he's not allowed in. And we have shut the doors. We have closed them and barred them and locked them and not even left a window open for him to get in. But we are saying, we want you to provide for us, and we will trust in you to provide for us. These are really hard things to actually do. We say them week by week and they come off our tongues and we learn them by rote and it seems easy. But every single one of those petitions and those phrases bears a great responsibility on us as disciples and as followers who are trying to do our best to actually get to that point where his will is being done. The world is fed, not just us. And it is then that we get to the next two rooms. Forgive us, and then as we forgive others. The room of confession and the room of surrender. And we're taking them together today. The need for forgiveness is always there. But the request for forgiveness that Jesus puts into this prayer comes after we know how much he loves us. It comes after we know how wonderful his kingdom is. It comes after the point of him saying that he will feed us and give us all we need. There is no conditions on this forgiveness. He accepts us first and says, you are mine and I love you, open arms all the time. And then we come to this difficult part. If you can admit that we will let his will be done, if you can say that we will ask for our daily bread and no more and no less, if we can admit our need for that, then comes to the point of saying, well, let's clear out the backlog then. Let's get these trips to the skip organized quite quickly so we can dispose of all the stuff that we don't need. And we say, Lord, forgive us. We say it day and daily, weekly, monthly. We say it constantly, Lord, forgive us, because we don't stop sinning. Jesus said, go and sin no more. If it was as easy as that, this world would be perfect. But the truth is that all of us get things wrong, sometimes deliberately do things wrong. And sometimes simply words tumble out or we don't do or do the things that we know really are not there for him in his kingdom. Forgive us. It is something that we are asking for. It's not a plea, will you forgive us? It is forgive us as you have promised. From the days of Micah, the prophets, and before, God's forgiveness was there for people. Certainly their expected sacrifices, or they expected to have to do something for it, until God said also in Micah, I don't want your sacrifices, I want you to walk with me, to accept me, to learn from me. That is all I want. I want your presence. I want your love and your attention. I want your devotion and your worship. I want you, because I love being with you. And I want you to love being with me as much as that. So our forgiveness is not conditional. God forgives us. And that's so hard to accept. It's so hard to let go, because he's offering us freedom from the past. It might be past, it might be recent past, it might be right now. But he's offering to free us from the regret or the shame or the guilt that we hold. To let go and be all that we can be and should be for him. without having our heads hung low and saying, oh, I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy by our own right. We are made worthy by being God's. He made us. He loves us. What's not worthy about that? How can we say to people outside with no faith, well, God loves me unconditionally, but I'm not worth all the things he gives? He makes us worthy. He tells us we are. As we tell our children, our grandchildren, those around us, we know you're not perfect. You might even say this to husbands, wives, not sure about that. You know you're not perfect, but we love you. I love you. Things are not going to change. And he forgives us. And it's for us then to try, desperately try for some people, to release the shame or the guilt or the burdens that we carry around with us, saying, I'm not sure he just forgives it quite that much. I didn't actually tell him every detail when I was confessing my sin. I kept a little bit back. You know what? He knows. He knows what you're keeping back. He knows what is in there. He knows the things you've forgotten long ago. And it's forgiven. Forgotten. So it's for us to be free. And in that freedom, and when we realize that we are free, then we are to forgive others. That is not so easy. That doesn't come quite so easily to any one of us. For some, it has an amazing ability for people to forgive those who have, for example, killed their children. We forgive them. To stand up in front of newscasters and newsrounds and say, we forgive them, we pray for them. That is the example that most of us want to be able to follow. But most of us hopefully are never in that situation, and most of us are never given that challenge, and most of us won't have to do that. But we have lesser sins, perhaps, from others to forgive, lesser hurts and pains that they have caused us that we are also to forgive. But how does that work, and how do we manage that? Lots of different threads come into this, one of which is the poster which is outside, which speaks that or tells us that forgiving others releases us. If they've not asked for forgiveness, if we feel that they're not interested, if we feel that they've just walked off, we mustn't hang on to that because it holds us down. It puts lead weights in our boots and in our hearts and in our spirits that we find very difficult to get back off the ground. And it's only by releasing those and setting those apart and saying, let me be free from what that person has done. Let me be free. Now that sounds very selfish. And that sounds very matter of saying, I want to be free and I don't care about them. But it's not. It's about caring for all God's world and all God's people. And it's about cutting those bonds that have held us down and saying, let us all be free. If we forgive what others have done to hurt us, that sets us free from worrying about what they have done, worrying about who they are, where they are, and helps us to focus on what God is asking us to do and what God is wanting us to do and what he's setting before us and the spirit that he puts into our hearts to help us to do that. The oxygen of his spirit, and sometimes it's helium because sometimes he flies us so high that we feel we can see the world and everything is wonderful. But sometimes it's that lead weight that holds us down. And when we understand what that weight is and we can say, perhaps not immediately and perhaps not just as a one-off, but we can gather our thoughts and our prayers and our ability and our faith together to say, we forgive that person for what they've done. It doesn't mean we don't learn from it. It doesn't mean we let them close enough to hurt us again in the same way. It doesn't mean that we are going to invite them for dinner every night. It doesn't mean that we're best buddies. But it sets us free to do God's will. And how they relate to God and the sins that they bring to God, that's for them to do. What you take to God is not my business. What you take to God is nothing to do with me. We have a personal relationship with the God who listens to us, who hears us, and who helps us to open up and to reveal all that is there. Because, let's say most of us, rather than all of us, will have those things in the corners of our hearts and lives, maybe from a long time ago, that we've squirreled away and that perhaps do need to be brought out into the light of day. Not for the sake of anyone else. Not for the sake of the person we hurt 20, 30, 50 years ago. but for us, to allow God into every aspect and every corner of our world and our living. But those are personal sins. Debts, trespasses, sins, what are they? In Matthew, it's debts, and people say that's for the Scots because they're always interested in money. In Luke, it's trespasses because folks say that's for the English because they like the land laws and they like the land. And it's all been taken as sins. Whatever it is, whatever we hold against others, whatever we have done wrong, whatever we have crossed that line on, perhaps by trespassing, perhaps by borrowing money that we're not paid back, whatever it is, we can debate again the semantics of words, but we know very well what it means. Hurting people, doing our own thing, being our own way, manipulating situations so that we get what we want. We need to let that go. And we need to concentrate and focus on what it is that God is asking of each individual one. And so we can work together as a group. Individual sins. But of course, we look around the world and we see that there are bigger, worse atrocities going on. And how can God possibly forgive them? How can we forgive them? How can people who perpetrated such atrocities decades ago be included now in God's family and show kindness and love? I think that's something that Anne and Mike will share with us at some point later on. Atrocities around the world, in our past, we don't have to look far to see them. Of homes and land being destroyed, just as a whim, it would seem, in some places. People being killed and destroyed and persecuted because of the faith they follow on the whim of others, it seems. There is such injustice in our world, globally and nationally. There is such injustice, social injustice and inequality in our land and in our community. That those are the sins, the communal sins that perhaps we really also need to think about. And it's not enough just to say, they've done this wrong, we forgive them. There are consequences of sins and consequences of actions that we take which are not just so easily put right. And perhaps it is for us to go and work with the people who are in that situation. Or perhaps it's for us to go and work in what has been left behind, the consequences of other people's actions, and not worry about how it happened, not worry about who did what to whom, not worry about who started the argument, but simply say, let's sort this out. I'm sure many of you will be aware of the scenario at home where, well, I'll put it personally, I was fighting with my brother. He was also fighting with me, to be fair. Arguing and fighting. And my mother would just appear at the door and tell us to stop. And she'd hear the cry from both of us at the same time. He or she started it. And the phrase that came back was, well, I'm finishing it. It doesn't matter who starts the fight and who starts the squabbles. It's how we resolve them and how we move on from that. And when we say, as we forgive others who have sinned against us, or whatever phrase it is we want to use in the Lord's Prayer, we need to be aware that we have to be active about it. Perhaps it is looking to remedy what has happened. Or perhaps it is cutting those bonds and saying, let's go our separate ways. Perhaps it's saying, let's just move on because we cannot bear the weight of this anymore and we need to be free. Forgive as we forgive. The way that is put, God forgive us as we forgive. Does that mean that God's behavior, that he will temper, that he will adjust his behavior according to us? Is our behavior going to change how God is, his character? I can't get my head around that. But I think he is saying, and Jesus is saying, we are to try and be the same as God. We are going to try and get to that aspect of forgiving people and giving them another chance. We're going to try and help that happen. But we are human beings. We are none of us perfect. We are none of us able to do all that God asks of us without effort and help and his Spirit working within us. Forgiveness. Sometimes it's harder to forgive ourselves than it is to forgive anyone else. Sometimes we hold against ourselves the things that we have done that we shouldn't have done and carry them with us for way too long. That comes in that first petition. God forgives you. What does that mean to you? Perhaps if we focus on that one, the rest will fall into place. What does it mean to you when you know that God forgives you? Can you truly set down those burdens? Can you truly say the past is past? Can you truly say, let's look to the future? We, of course, have to deal with the consequences. And we, of course, have to deal with what has been done, our actions and others. But if that is the focus of our mind and we cannot think of anything else, we need to let go. And that's hard. It comes after we are told God loves us. God's forgiveness has been there from the beginning of time, all through the prophets, all through the books of the Old Testament. God forgives. This is not something new. But it's something we are so churlish about holding on to. They're my wrongs and I'm going to keep them and then I can say I'm not worthy. We are worthy in God's eyes. We are valuable and precious. We have things that we can do in His name. But if we allow ourselves to remain tied to the past, they will not happen as they should. Heads up, eyes forward, smiles on faces, hearts lifted, spirits renewed. Let's do what God made us to do. It is His prayer. He taught us it for a reason. And He taught us this bit, that when we know we are safe in Him, we can set the rest free and let it go. Focus on Him, and the rest is in the margins. Focus on His love and His acceptance, and know in your hearts that He embraces you and holds you and loves you with everything He has and everything He is. Sin, debts, trespasses, failures, they all leave damage. But we can repair that too. Beauty for brokenness. It takes time. It takes decades. Maybe take longer. But we can build again the kingdom that God wants us to build because He's with us. Beauty for brokenness. Let's sing that. And let's allow our hearts to be inspired by the love that He places there. And let our work in faith be inspired by knowing He is our Father.